Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. It's, I guess, even on the West Coast, it is just afternoon. It's 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time on the Atlantic Coast, or the East Coast time. We are going to do our Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. And we're going to start in the book of Judges today, and I'm going to go through the first five chapters, not today, of course, but we're going to do this because we're going to show the we got to look at this as we are, as a first person. We're writing this. This is written not to talk about history or so we can say we've read the Bible through and through. This is written, every word in here is written individually to us. Every word of the Bible is written to us individually. Why? Because every word in here, per 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, it is capable of saving us, sanctifying us, reproofing us, correcting us, chastising us, instruction for righteousness, and making us capable of good works. The good works that God spoke of, speaks of, are those in 2 Timothy 1:9, where it's things that were determined for us to do in the mind of God before the world began. Not necessarily our good works, and I've got to stress that. I don't know, I'm not going to say unequivocally, but whenever works come up in any type of teaching or sermon, I never hear anybody say that these are the good works that God has predetermined if we follow him, per 2 Timothy 1:9, predetermined that we will do. Anything else, folks, is our idea, church's idea, Bible study teacher's idea. You got to go to God. All right, hold on just a minute. Okay, are you on?
I am here.
Okay. So we're going to start with the book of Judges, because the book of Judges today, we're going to start with chapter 1, verse 1, and I want to go through 5. But this is to be looked at as just our condition right now. Our condition right now is the fact that because of the flesh warring against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh in Galatians 5:17, because of that, we still have the tremendous tendency by the sin nature, the carnal nature, to disobey God as far as the conduct in the promised land, and that's what we've been talking about for the past several months.
Hey, Google. Turn on Jackson.
What's that, Raven?
I'm sorry. Raven? Go ahead. Yes,
well,
I'm here.
I heard you saying, do you want to, in the background, I hear you saying something. Did you want to say, pray now?
No, I'm sorry. I was kicking my cat off my lap. He was on my top of my Bible.
Okay. I didn't know because, you know, you and I are on the way, so I'm not – okay, but no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was trying to cover my microphone up. I was trying to cover my microphone up when I was talking, but it must have come through kind of muffled.
The only way that's
going
to work is you're going to have to mute it. But no big deal. I thought you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pray, and we'll get rolling.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, for the ability to have you work this ministry through us, for your Holy Spirit who teaches us through your word. It is impossible to describe how blessed we know we are by your word in Scripture. And we just ask today, Lord, that as we speak out your word and as your Holy Spirit speaks through us, that those who will listen are blessed and that your Holy Spirit will work through them also, either to understand further or even to understand their need for salvation, for Christ is their Savior. We love you so much, and we give you all the glory for everything that happens in our lives. In Christ's most holy name we pray. Amen.
Okay, now, like I said, we've been spending a great amount of time in the book of Deuteronomy and other Jeremiah and other places describing the conduct in the promised land. We have
Amen.
The same thing. We've got every word in the Bible that is telling us the conduct we're to have in the promised land as in the New Testament, and we have the Old Testament repeating what the Hebrews were told. Now, we've spent a lot of time. Now we're going to show what every one of us face, battle of the spirit against the flesh of Galatians 5:17. And that is something to distract us or to turn us from obeying God's prescribed order of living in the promised land. And we're going to see what happens when they do it. It's just total disaster. And folks, this is happening to us currently. In this nation, we do not, even though we've been proclaimed a Christian nation all of my life, we do not live according to, as a nation, the dictates of God. We want no part of them in the schools. Well, Christmas time, we don't even want in the town squares or wherever it be, the nativity scene. We just made it clear we don't want them. And the Christian churches are not saying one word against anything, including killing 90 million babies legally since 1972. The churches are not saying anything. And I'm going to tell you, we are not going to get along with this like in calculus. They say you use an equation from zero to infinity. No. God gives us a certain amount of time to listen to his word. If you don't do it, we saw in Israel, what was it, 40 years? They wandered in the wilderness, and then God lowered the boom. We're going to see in Judges. We're going to see the same thing. And then the book after Judges is 1 Samuel, and we covered that a little bit last week, where they finally said, after all the years, 450 years of going in and out, in and out, in and out, first obeying God, then going and serving idols, then repenting, after nine times, the tenth time, the judge they had was Samuel, and they finally told Samuel, we don't want God ruling us anymore. And I tell you, folks, we got to look at this. This is the condition that I'm afraid of that we have, the churches have gone into in the United States today. We don't want God ruling over us. We're going to let the Supreme Court tell us what's right. And I'm going to tell you, every one of you who sent for my pictures may throw so many darts in it that you can't even see it's my face. You can hate me. You can take me off of here, whatever it's called, unfriend me, unsubscribe. Whatever it is, you got to listen to this book of Judges. And then after this, read 1 Samuel chapter 8 on your own. On your own. God is not like an equation in calculus where you go to zero to infinity, which means you got forever to repent. We better listen to what we're going to read. Do you have anything to add to that? Because I want you to start, we're going to read in Judges, but if you have any opinions.
I just want to say, you say that Christians, I mean, that that they don't even want, you know, Christmas stuff up in the village square. Christians don't even want Christ up in, you know, in their home at Christmas. How many people do you know that celebrate Christ at Christmas? I mean, really?
Money.
Yeah, it's all about presents and a Christmas tree. Even at Easter, do you know that this last weekend, my granddaughter was here with me, and I've been trying to talk to her about the Lord, you know, a little bit. I mean, it's a little bit at a time because she has absolutely no knowledge, and she asked me. She happened to ask me. She says, "What's your favorite holiday, Gammy?" You know. No, she doesn't remember going to church. I mean, she sort of remembers going to church with me, but just barely, you know. She was young.
I hate to say it, but it's interesting that you've got a clean slate to work with. She's not poisoned by false doctrine.
Right, yes. And so,
she'll get the truth from you. She may not like it, but she'll hear it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm doing, just a little at a time, you know. And she said to me, she said, "Gammy," she calls me Gammy. She says, what is your favorite holiday? And I said, that would be Easter. And she said, oh, I said, do you know why? And she said, no. I said, because that's when Christ died for my sins. And she just looked at me and she said, what? I said, do you know what Easter is about? She said, not really. I said, it has nothing to do with Easter bunnies and chicks and candy, nothing. I said, it's about Christ. She said, I didn't know that. She had no clue that it was even about God. It was about Christ.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
How many people do you think in their 30s and 40s today were raised with no clue?
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, these people, you know, most of the world that celebrates Easter is, you know, they just, it's even if they go to church, it's really not. They go into church and they don't really even understand what Easter is really.
I'm not sure that they've ever been told.
Right, exactly. And even
the
if they go
Raven,
on Easter.
Here, Raven, you and I went to a church not long ago.
Yes.
And the highlight of Easter to them, well, I better not say that.
No, you're not saying the name of the church.
All the kids getting ready, Easter egg hunts, and
I'm telling you,
Raven, I don't know that I've heard anybody tell me the whole purpose is to celebrate. And I know I haven't heard it recently. The whole purpose of Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of the one who died for my sins.
I much prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday.
Here, I'm not saying that there's not ministers out there preaching. I'm saying I don't know when I've just heard in conversation about Easter or Christmas what the true biblical concept of it is. And I'm talking just in general conversation.
Yes. I mean, I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday myself.
I got to be honest with you. I'd love to be having this girl. How old is she?
She's 10.
So she's got the capability of understanding you.
Yes.
I think she's got a tremendous opportunity here. She's not going to get poisoned with. Okay.
Absolutely. And she doesn't really understand what Christmas is either. You know, but I get that. But I get that. I mean, she hasn't been raised with the reality of what it is, you know?
Raven, I almost prefer, you know what, again, I would prefer to have someone that I could start with a Bible on with her rather than somebody who's listened to all of these sermons on Christmas and Easter to generate money.
Right. Yep. Because when the church I grew up in, you know, that's exactly what it was about. It was about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was about nothing. To be honest with you, it was about nothing. It really was. It was, I mean, they would read the Christmas story, you know, but it wasn't with
read
any
wonderful.
But it wasn't with any understanding. Do you know what I mean?
You've got an interesting thing going on here where you've got someone who has not been polluted by the wishy-washy Mary Poppins seeker-sensitive prosperity gospel false doctrines that we've got today. No, I think you've got a tremendous opportunity with her. And the neat thing about it is your daughter is not restricting what you can tell her.
Nope.
Well, that's another issue. I know of a couple of people, Raven, that say, I just don't want to go too far because I know my family doesn't believe and they're going to resent it. And that's their decision. But I'm saying you've got a perfect situation with her.
Right.
And
when I first got back with my daughter, you know, she said, I don't want to hear one thing about God. But I got to tell you, every week or so, I get just one or two little mentions. You know, I'll tell her, I'm praying for you. You know, I'll tell her, you know, this is because God is in my life and this is what he's doing. This would not have happened without God, you know, or I'll tell her, you know, I understand that you didn't see this, that you think that this is all bad, but, you know, if this hadn't happened and this hadn't happened, you wouldn't be at this point in your life right now. You have to realize that all these things are leading exactly to where you need to be. And she finally agreed with me. She finally agreed with me. Now, she might not yet agree that it's because of God, but we're getting there, you know.
I think she is because she's
knowing
your kids, they have – no. I don't know them. I don't know any of them. But knowing how you are, I got to believe that they understand that you have instilled in them that there is a creator who is alive and guiding their. But still, it's remarkable that the one who said they didn't want to hear anything about God from you to them is allowing you to work with this 10-year-old. You've got a tremendous opportunity. This is off, what we're talking about, but this child is going to have a tremendous opportunity if you can keep at her.
Yeah, I agree. This is, I mean, God is doing so many wonderful things in my family right now that I mean, it just blows me away. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it is just, it is so, and she'll ask me all the time, are you happy, Gammy?
Who?
Are you happy?
Who?
Addison, my granddaughter, are you happy? And even when she thinks that I shouldn't be, because like I injured my toe pretty bad the other day. I mean, it's probably broken. It's black and blue all the way halfway up my foot, and it's a mess. Oh yeah, it's a wreck. And so like about 15 minutes later, she says to me, she says, are you happy, Gammy? You're not happy now, are you? And I said, yes, I am. She says, no, you're not. And I said, I am happy. I said, I keep telling you, sweetie, my circumstances have nothing to do with my joy. My joy comes from God. It doesn't have anything to do with whether I'm in pain or whether things aren't going so well.
Raven, I can empathize because, as I've told you numerous times, I'm still not to that point. I understand what you're saying, but I am still right. driven by circumstances. And this is what Pastor Rand talked about last week, is we cannot allow
right.
our circumstance to dictate our spiritual joy.
Right.
But this is
but
good.
See, she keeps trying to catch me. She keeps trying to catch me, you know. She'll say,
well, because,
are you happy now?
What that is,
yeah.
hold on, what that is, Raven, is she's trying to be sure that
yes.
what you're saying is what you're sticking to. And I understand that.
Right. Yeah. 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 You know, she keeps saying, now are you still, now are you happy? Now, yes, I am.
No, I understand.
You know, even if.
I do.
Yeah, even if I'm upset with her about something, you know, I'd like, you know, she does something that she shouldn't have done. And I mean, like, and there have been a couple of them where she's really tested me, you know. So now are you happy? Yes. I, you know what, sweetie? I still love you and nothing will ever change that. You know, no, you shouldn't have done what you did, but you didn't take away my joy. You can't take away my joy,
no.
you know. And
well,
she doesn't completely get it yet. But
I don't either. Intellectually, I do. That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's not that long ago that I was there. I mean, I haven't been in this situation, you know, for
I
long.
I understand that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't felt this way. I hate to use the word felt because it really isn't about feelings.
No,
I don't know how else to.
I understand you. I understand
yeah.
you because I'm still where you were.
Yeah, yeah.
All
but
right.
but God has only recently brought me here. Yeah.
I realize
He's
that.
Only recently got me to
yet.
This point. Yeah, yeah.
I am
and,
not
and,
there,
but
so
I get
I
it.
Can see her mentality.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I can too. I mean, obviously. I mean, she doesn't even know Christ yet. So of course she can't understand it at all. You know, but that's
mm-hmm.
okay. You know, I want for her to see that there is something different. You know,
yes.
It's okay for her to not understand it, but she does. In fact,
nope,
just
right
the very
on.
Fact that she doesn't
nope.
understand it is like, why? It's like, why? What? Why?
Nope,
how can
you're right.
you know? Yeah,
I totally
yep.
agree with it. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's go to Judges and, 1 and let's
yep.
read the first 5 verses. But in this, folks,
okay.
this is warnings to us. We are the ones that God is talking to through Samuel in Judges. Samuel wrote Judges.
Yeah. All right. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be the first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up. And the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek and fought against him. And they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites.
Now, why? Because number one, what did they do? They asked God in verse 1, they asked God, they asked the Lord, saying, who will go up? Do you see, this is fundamental,
yes.
our behavior in the promised land. Don't go to Carl. Don't go to your favorite TV evangelist, although you'd never speak to him. Don't go to your expert
right.
church. You go to the only teacher, the only counselor, and you go to God. But I look at this, how key. They went to God. You won't even have
yeah.
preachers saying that today. They want you to go to
right.
their whiz-bangs who are on staff for who knows how much money. No. We don't go to psychologists. We don't go to a Christian psychologist. We go to God and let God determine who we go to and what we do. And then strangely enough, when Judah was told what to do, they obeyed him. And you see in
right.
the verse up through yeah. verse 5, they decimated him, decimated 10,000
yeah.
men. Judah to Israel, I don't know if they had 10,000 people in the land. But yeah, they did, but 10,000.
Yes.
And they fought this Adonai Bezek and Bezek, and they fought against him and slew the Canaanites. And I mean, it's just unbelievable what they did. Now, when
yeah.
God says that you will go up there and you will fight against them because he's delivered them into your hand, he doesn't mean that you keep any around for your personal pleasure.
Right.
You don't. You go in and you destroy everything, as God says. If he just says destroy all the men, women, and children, you do it. And I've heard how terrible that is. God does not want in the promised land any semblance of evil. And we see here, read 6 through 10, we're going to see where they did that. They didn't determine they're going to take any of the cattle or the horses or any of the women back for themselves. They went in and did what God said, and everything went great. Read 6 through 10.
All right. Then Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather their food under my table, as I have done. So God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it edge of the sword and set the city on fire.
Now why
and afterward?
Because, hold on, the reason Jerusalem is because the enemy had penetrated into Israel.
Okay.
Are you there? Okay.
Yes.
See, the
yes,
enemy
I'm here.
Had gone into this is time during the time, folks, 550 BC, during the time of the Babylonian captivity. Maybe I should have said that in the beginning. So this is Israel taking back the land. Okay.
Okay. Yes. Yes. All right. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountains, in the south and in the lowland. Then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kirjath Arba, and they killed Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai.
Now listen to this, what you just read. They went against the Canaanites now.
Yeah.
And they slew them. Read verse 4.
Yes.
This is the words of God. Are we listening to God in the promised land, or are we listening to somebody who got a degree from school and we don't even know if he's saved by his preaching?
Right. Verse 4 says, then Judah went up and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they killed 10,000 men at Bezek.
Read 5,
yeah.
same thing.
And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and Perizzites.
Why? Because yeah. God had already defeated them. When you're
yeah.
in the promised land, just don't go in there and you're going to go out and win the world for Christ. No, you ask him what job he's got for you. Who does he want you
yeah.
to work with? Who does he send to you? And then when you're looking for help, you go to God. You don't go to your favorite TV evangelist or his commentaries. You go to the Word of God in prayer. What do
yeah.
I do? I've got a major decision in my life. Do I do this? Do I not do it? Go to God in prayer. James 1:5. We keep repeating it. And every time I repeat this in a Bible study, people laugh about it. They even say, I knew you were going to say that. There's nothing else to say, folks. You don't direct people to man first. If you're unsure, ask God and let God tell you what to tell the person who's asking you.
Right.
Go ahead.
I like how you said it. God had already done it. And we need to go into these things with that attitude. I mean, if we go to God in prayer and he says, this is what I want you to do because I'm going to accomplish it for you, we need to have that attitude that it's already done. It's already accomplished. If God tells us to do it, it is spiritually already finished.
Finished. That's right. And even if we're doing a good work, which our churches, if there's anything we're as addicted to as money, it's good works.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good work, whatever that means.
Right.
If God has determined you're going to do something else, you are out of the will of God. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Now let's continue on your idea here. Let's just continue. Read 17, say through 22.
Okay. 17. And Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. So
right,
the name of
like
the city.
Said, Raven, that's because of what you just said. God's already done it before them.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So the name of the city was called Hormah. Also, Judah took Gaza with its territory, Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had said. Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day.
Okay, now you don't see anything in here where God told the children of Benjamin to drive out the Jebusites.
Yeah.
You don't see that.
Yes.
Makes sense?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
If it's not given to us by God, it's not going to work. And at least it's not going to work correctly. It's not going to. It's never going to be.
And even if it does,
it's never going to be right.
Man's opinion. Even if it works in man's opinion correctly, what if God is not behind it? It's going to be a plane crash.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And you may not see that. You may not see that right away. But down the road.
Oh, no. In fact, a lot of times you don't. How often, Raven, I've heard. Well, if God didn't want us to have this $30,000, he wouldn't have given it to us. Really?
Right.
Show me in the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
And that's
right.
The way the
because
book of
Satan
wasn't Samuel. They didn't see it
right
away. That's a very good point. And many times, Raven, I will compromise my values. And God doesn't do anything. And I'm thinking, well, that must be proof that this is God's will, when I know it's not.
Because let's face it, Satan will come along and I'm going to use the word bless you. You know what I mean? He'll come along and he will give you the desires of your heart rather than God's heart, right? Satan will come along and he will say, okay, You're trying to go against God's will, so I'm gonna give you a little something here. I'm gonna help you out because you're going against God, and I love to see you going against God. So Satan likes to help us out, right? And mm-hmm. and God, if we're going against him, you know, and we are just really going, you know, down our own path, God will allow us to get into a mess. You know, and we know that if Satan is behind it, eventually we are going to fail. You know, it might be all good for a while, but eventually we are going to come into a great big mess. And God knows that that's what's going to happen. This is why we come into trials and tribulations, because God will step back and say, okay, do what you want to, but you're going to see the mess down the road.
I want to come back to something you said in a bit about it's going to turn into a big mess and bring that to today's life right now. But
okay.
let's go down to 25 and start. Read 25,
okay.
Read that through 30.
Okay. So he showed them the entrance to the city, and they struck the city with the edge of the sword, but they let the man and all his family go. And the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, and called its name Luz, which is its name to this day. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan and its villages, or Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land.
Manasseh went down to fight these people, and Manasseh got his ears taken off, literally. Well, not literally, figuratively. Okay.
Yes. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute. In my Bible it says that means forced labor. So, but did not completely drive them out.
There you go. When God tells you, you don't take anything from them. You kill every man, woman, and child, all their livestock. You don't take the women for free prostitution. You don't take the animals as a source of income.
Yep.
When he says that, he means it.
Yep.
And listen to this. Look at that. They took. God never said take the Canaanites as tribute. In other words, well, this is good. God's given us all these slaves. We're not going to destroy them. We're not going to say what God said. We're not going to do what God said. We're going to, look, God's given us a present. We got all this slave labor. No, what you're doing is bringing back into the camp. You're bringing evil. God says destroy it.
Yes.
Now, that verse 28 is tremendous.
Yes.
And what happened? Read the end of that verse again, the last phrase. Because they took the Canaanites for their own selfish good means, what was the result? What didn't happen?
He says they did not completely drive them out.
There you go. You see? You see where the little crack in the wall is coming?
Right. So what didn't they do? They didn't drive out evil. Right.
Because they didn't drive out evil. Exactly. And Manasseh was never told to do it to begin with.
Yeah.
So you see, the very ones, the Canaanites that God delivered to Judah.
Yeah.
Judah did everything right to the word. I'm going to ask you, rather than me hyperventilating here about this, what is there in my life that God's saying, you go here and you complete this, but I want you to go past this situation and don't touch it? But this situation may have, guess what? The situation God says don't do, I could get a lot of glory. A lot of people would recognize just how great I am. I might even get money. I might be paid a little bit of money each month by this church. God, hey, I can bring the truth to them. God says don't go there. First of all, Carl most times wouldn't go to God to ask him what he wants done.
Yes.
I would go to the expert in my church. Church building or good works. No, go to God. They did not utterly destroy them. Raven, can you look at anything in your life that you did not utterly destroy by following God's will that came back to bite you? Even though you were a Christian. Even though you were a Christian.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure
I'm
can.
I'm not going to ask you, Jill. Okay. This is what it means, folks. Don't take this as history, because this is what?
Yep.
550 B.C. and we're into 2,600 years ago. This is right now, every minute of the day.
Yep. Yep.
You've got a pastor of a church. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, God says, I want you to take, you know, the Holy Spirit's telling you, get rid of all of that. And you just say, oh, of course, I'm going to follow you. And then all of a sudden you come to one little thing and you say, you know what, I just want to keep that little piece right there. Just that one little thing, that one little thing, because I like that. I can't quite. And before you know it, you got it all back. Because you wouldn't let go of the one little piece. The one little piece.
You were not willing to obey God in the promised land. We're going to see the disaster. Now, Raven's going to read 29 through 33. And I want you to see the building disaster. Because they, number one, the groups that she's going to talk about, Ephraim, Asher, Naphtali, These people did not obey God. God never told them to go in and drive out the Canaanites. They did it on their own. The only ones that God told to drive out the Canaanites are Judah.
Right.
And they had complete victory. Keep going now, 29 through 33. And look at the disaster you're setting yourself up for.
Yep. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them.
You see what happens? Because we didn't drive them out. Number one, God didn't tell you to drive them out. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now you're gonna be right in there with them. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, or the inhabitants of Nahalol. So the Canaanites dwelt among them, and were put under tribute.
There you go. Now we can justify it. Wait a minute, church. We can have these people in the church. They're doing good works for us. They're bringing in money. They know influential people. God says, do not bring in the Canaanite into your services. We do it because it fulfills man's lust for whatever it is, power, political.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you a really big example. And I'm not going to name
that. Hold on. Yeah. Before you do that, why don't you read 32 and 33?
Okay, so the Asherites dwelt among the
spread. How far this spread in Israel?
The Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did the Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute to them.
Now, what happens when you tolerate the Canaanite and you were never told to destroy them anyhow. They bring in all the other people with false doctrine too. You're adding sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. It is not going to be something you're going to get away with. Okay, go ahead and give me an example.
Now, let me tell you something. This happened within about the last 6-7 years, and I'm not sure exactly how bad it's gotten with this group. They may be completely disbanded by now. I don't think so, though, but it affected them big time. There is a church, and I'm not going to name the name of it. Some people will know. Some people will not. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to. But here's what happened.
Right.
There's a church that has a contemporary Christian group, singing group, okay, attached to it. And you may have heard this mentioned at a previous church that you and I belong to where he would occasionally call these things out. So you know what I mean. So anyway, so what happened was, They found out that there were, I think, two people in this group, and this had become a very, very famous contemporary band, singing group, whatever, very famous with, recording and selling and everything. So, and the church is fairly large. But two of the people were homosexuals and allowed, even after it was brought out that they were not only homosexuals but continuing in the lifestyle, okay, they were told that they couldn't continue in the lifestyle if they were going to be in this group, that nope, this is not allowed, but they did so anyway, and the pastor of the church knew that this was happening. Well, it got out to the public that this was going on and that the church was allowing it. And so what happened is, yes, they allowed this to continue. They did not drive this out of their church. And not that the people couldn't be allowed to come and worship, but they were allowed to be, in a position, and for the reason of, it makes money in our church. It makes us look good because we have these amazing singers in who are bringing in money to our church and who make our, make us look good. Well, all of a sudden, it's not making you look good because you have, you have this stuff going on in your church. And what happened was all of a sudden people were like, no, we don't want to be associated with purchasing music that these people are producing. And they were suddenly losing their sales, losing
of
sales.
Course.
And I don't
of
know.
Course.
Yep. So I don't know if they're still doing, work, if they're still selling, or whatever. I haven't heard much about them in a couple of years. I don't, purchase anything from them anymore. But, it's very sad that this is what happened. They put money and fame and this kind of thing in front of God. And this is exactly what they're really talking about here. They were like, oh, look, this is going to be what's... And this is exactly that same situation.
That's
like
right.
I said, people may or may not know who I'm talking about, but it's
get
just
relevant.
That this is the point. And this is, we see this happening more and more and more in churches. And you and I have talked about, a couple things that this has happened, in churches where they want to put money before God. But this was a big thing. This was huge. And how sad it is, right?
There's churches that are bringing in contradictory to the Word of God, pastors that shouldn't be pastors. They're desperate to get new people. because the money is probably down, and they're going against the Bible as far as, and they're pulling out all the stops, but they're doing no different than we see here. These people were pulling out all the stops. They were taking everything they could that God, they knew God was, didn't say to do because there was a prophet somehow.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Raven is saying here. Now, you will make a profit. These singers could make you wealthy. Is it worth your soul? Think of that. Is it worth your soul? Is anything worth your soul? Forget the little tinker toy dollar bills you get that ain't worth anything anyhow. Pardon my grammar. Is it worth your soul to compromise God's orders in the promised land?
Because what does Scripture say? You cannot serve both God and mammon.
That's what he's saying here. You've got to be separate.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to go to this church, even though I know they preach false doctrine, because I'm a fisher of men, and that's where the fish are. Oh, really? So you're taking one verse of the Scripture to contradict another? Do you really think the Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is going to contradict one of his words with another one? If anybody thinks that, we're not even speaking the same language. That's from pulpits.
Yes.
Did you pray to God?
Absolutely.
Where does he want you to go and fish for men?
Yes.
Now, if you've done that and he tells you to go there, that's fine. But then you should get on Carl like dark on midnight and saying, I asked God first, like it says in Judges and Deuteronomy, and this is where God told me to go. But I never hear that disclaimer.
Right.
Judge it because it's good for me. It's good for me.
Right. And make sure that you're going to Scripture if you think, if you really have yourself convinced that God told you to do something. Because let me tell you, there was a time when I had myself convinced that God wanted me to do something, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but I'm just saying I had decided that God wanted me to do something. But you see, it was because I was convinced in my own mind.
Had you prayed beforehand?
Oh, sure. But I had convinced in my own mind. You see what I mean?
Okay.
I wasn't really.
No, this is Raven. I can see this happening. You pray. Okay, I want to hear how you resolved it.
I had prayed, but I want to tell you that I was not open to God talking to me at the time. I was not, let me tell you.
Okay, but how did you, what I want to find out before we end this program, you prayed to God.
I'm
going to
give you scripture to back it up.
Okay, but you prayed
to
God. I want to know how, hold on, I want to know how a real life situation, because this is something I can see that any of us are prone to. You prayed.
Right.
Thought came into your mind. What was the process of you realizing that it was the enemy and not God? That, because this is a real life situation. Let's say your daughter has an issue and you tell her to pray and she does. A thought comes into her mind. When you recognize it's not a God, what did you do to correct it? How did you know it wasn't a God? And then what did you do to correct it? Go ahead.
I got into scripture. See, at the time that I was praying, I was not in scripture. I was not in scripture.
So what you're doing is you're searching for a reason that you may have misinterpreted God. You weren't in scripture. Okay, this is what I want to know,
because,
Raven. I want to know in the real world what Raven did that first of all made her recognize it was wrong, and then what did you see about yourself to correct? Because we all live here, Raven. You're not the Lone Ranger.
Well, you see, what happened was, even though I had prayed and then was so sure that what I was doing was correct, you know. I got, okay, this is what I'm doing, and I started down that pathway, but no matter what happened, everything continued to be just a dirty, filthy, rotten mess.
So
it was a
mess.
Right. So I thought, okay, I mean, it's this much of a mess. There's no way God's blessing me in anything. He's not allowing me to come back up out of this. It gets worse and worse no matter what happens. So then that's when I said, okay, I need to go to Scripture. I need to get closer to God. And this was the Holy Spirit telling me,
Hold on. Just see if you agree with the way I'm following your story. You prayed,
yep.
But you're telling me when you didn't read Scripture, you weren't listening to God.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit convicted you that you're not listening and go to Scripture to get an answer.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Is that really what happened to you, though?
Yep. That's exactly
okay.
what happened. But he had been
okay.
convicting me. Let me tell you. He'd been convicting me to go to Scripture while
Scripture.
I was in
no,
the
see,
mess.
That's the issue. But, Raven, we got pastors
yeah.
out there telling us we don't need any more Scripture.
Yeah.
I'm saying when you
yeah.
ask God for something, then Scripture is an integral part of the answer. I guess that's what you're
yes.
saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is what I want to see. What signs happened to you? And you're showing me now, if we pray to God and he talks to us through Scripture, not always only Scripture, but always Scripture,
right.
you're saying you were
yes.
not listening to his answer.
Yes, that's right.
Why?
That's right, because I didn't want to hear it. I wanted to hear.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to hear what I wanted to hear.
Okay. This gets
I wanted
deep.
To hear what I wanted to hear. I wanted to do it my way.
That's exactly what caused the problems you just read in verse 29 through 33. They did it
that's
their
right.
way, and they got decimated. They got their clocks
yep.
cleaned, their ears taken
yep.
off.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So you now are reading the Bible. What was the next step?
So as I'm reading Scripture, then I'm being convicted even more by the Holy Spirit that, you know what, something, this is not right. Well, so then God put someone in my life, and I'll tell you, because it's going to be part of the story here. I was seeing someone who I should not mm-hmm. be seeing. I was seeing someone who I should not, who was a bad person in my life. He was a bad, he pretended to be a Christian, and I would bet dollars to donuts he was not, okay? But
okay.
whether he was or not, right, he was not following Christ, and he was pulling me further and further away from God. And so he had a friend, okay? He had a friend who we spoke with quite often, and God said to me, go talk to him. Go talk to him, which was odd for me because I would never have gone and talked to this guy. He was more of a friend of his, see? And I would never have gone and talked to him on my own. But God was convicting me and saying, go talk to him. And I knew he was a Christian, you know. So one day I just drove over to this guy's house, and he was married, you know. I mean, they were both there, you know. So I drove over there and I said, I am so confused. I don't know what to do. Now, they were pretty good friends. And this guy told me, he said, you know what to do. Now, and he told me, he said, you need to stop seeing him. You two are not good for each other. He is not good for you. He's pulling you further away from God. You know he's pulling you further away from God. And this was a good friend of his. But he
yes,
said,
no, I got the picture.
Yep. But he said, you know, this is what God's telling you, and so this, you need to follow what God's telling you. And I stopped the relationship that day. That day.
Okay, now what, again, what do you think was the turning point in this when you turned to the scripture?
I turned to the scripture. Yes, I turned to scripture. And at that point, God really started speaking to me again. I started hearing his voice. I really started.
So it wasn't,
yes.
Okay, Raven, it wasn't that you did like churches you and I have been to. You got in 14 or 12 chapters a day.
No.
All God wanted was you willing to listen to him. When you did that,
yes,
he started to speak to
yes.
you.
He wanted
okay.
me to be willing to hear. Yes. He wanted
so
me to be following
point.
The Holy Spirit.
So
yes.
this is
it
the
was
turning
a big
point when we realize that it's not God speaking to us, even though we prayed, because we're not listening
yep.
to him. Why? Because we don't want what he says. Think of what she's saying,
yep.
folks.
He wanted me to be willing to be in his will. And that's where it was.
That's a good way of saying it.
Yep. Yep. And that's where it came to when I turned to scripture and basically really it was, that's why I went to this guy, because I said, okay, Lord, no matter what happens, no matter what he says to me, you know, I'm going to believe that it's from you because you're the one that's telling me to go there. And so, no matter how much it hurts me.
What you realize is even though you prayed to God, which any religious church
yep.
would tell you to do, maybe.
Right.
You really didn't want what God was saying.
Before that, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
right.
But there was that day. There was that day when I said, okay, none of this is working. None of this is working. So I'm willing to do it your way.
Isn't that
interesting? Because my way
though,
isn't working.
But even though you prayed, you finally realized you really didn't want what you asked God.
It wasn't until
okay,
I was willing to say.
This is important, Raven,
yep.
because don't think
yep.
you're the Lone Ranger on this.
Yep. I had to say, my way's not working. I have to be willing to do it your way because my way's not working.
So somebody out there who's bleeding to death, who has truly asked God, and they don't know whether they want it or not, they're confused after listening to us, would you say to them the first thing to do is just get into the scripture and ask God to speak
yeah.
to you? That's what I... Okay.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, there's people out there
absolutely.
Are hurting, Raven, right now. What can your experience do to help these people that's biblical?
You know what? I'm going to go right back to James 1, 5 through 7. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you lack wisdom, if it's not working for you, if you don't know what to do, you're just, everything's a mess. But, verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Go to God and be willing to say, I give up all my will and I'm going to do it your way. Yes.
So God,
you have to be willing to do it.
God allowed things to go south on you until you recognize that you asked him for his will, but you really didn't want it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I hear. Okay, God allowed this to happen to you to change you.
To change
okay.
me, yes. And believe me, this has
so
happened several times.
The first thing you did, though, it can happen multiple times. The first thing you did
oh,
was
yeah.
go to the Word And not that reading 12 chapters a day is going to canonize you a saint. You read your Bible because it was your way of saying, God, I want to hear from you because my way is junk.
Yep, absolutely.
Because, Raven, we got people out there that you and I have heard from pulpits discredit the Bible.
You want to hear from God? Go to his word. Go to his word.
But don't do the other extreme. Read 12, 14 chapters a day to show how much holier you are than me. That's the whole that's making a mockery out of this.
Yes. Yes.
Now,
exactly.
As you were reading this and you were, God had convicted you and you are now doing it, did you get a feeling of reassurance even though the problem hasn't been solved yet? And Raven and I haven't discussed this in the past.
No. No. In fact, Carl, one thing that you said is very, very very, very important. You said, because I didn't go to it just for the sake of reading. You know, it's not like I just opened up my Bible and said,
that's what I'm saying. Raven, that's what some of the churches do. They make you read 12 or 14, and it's a joke because you don't even know what you're reading.
Yes.
Think of 12 chapters a day or whatever.
Yep. I opened up my Bible and said, Lord, you show me where you want me to go and what you want to tell me.
Show me. This is what I'm looking for. How did you overcome? I want the steps.
Yep.
Okay, so this is another step.
I do this every time I read, Carl.
Okay, but
every time I read scripture,
Raven,
I do that.
Raven, there's people, even though we don't get very many people listening, I guarantee there's probably one out there that says, but I've asked God and he's not, and things are getting worse. I want them to hear from someone who was in that position.
Every time I read scripture.
Yes.
Every time I read scripture, I pray first and I say, Lord, take me where you want me to be and show me what you want me to learn. Every
you
time.
You mean you don't, you, Raven? You don't read the little bookmarker I gave you about reading certain verses and get it done in 1 year? You mean
never.
You're actually going to tell, you mean you think God has a better plan than Carl?
Absolutely.
We're being rhetorically stupid here, but folks, that's the way it is. Read the whole Bible in one day, I don't care, but don't make a discipline out of it where you've got to do these verses every day. Folks, you either want to hear from God or you don't. And what Raven has very brutally admitted to us is in the beginning, even though she prayed, she didn't want God's opinion. I've been guilty of that. I don't want to know the truth unless the truth fits what I want.
Right.
You see, Raven, you see where you and I, though, in that mentality, we're right here in disobeying the conduct in the promised land.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to hear from
Carl,
you, God. No less am I going to disobey you. I don't even want to hear what you told me to conquer.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead. I may never, ever again for the rest of my life read the book of Ezra. I don't know. I mean, I've read it before. But, I mean, that's up to him. That's how I look at it.
That is not one of the most popular books you throw out in a church meeting to show how holy you are.
Right. I'm just saying, I mean, I just picked that out of thin air. I'm just saying, I might.
Yeah.
I might, but I might not. I don't know. That's God's decision.
Nope, I'm with you. I understand you.
That's up to him. He chooses what I read. Every day. Every day.
And you actually ask him.
Yep. Every day.
Okay, this is important because I know that I've asked God for help and things and everything got worse. So this is a real life situation. Okay. Now, when did comfort start to come? The moment you look back on it and say, I started to do what God wanted.
Well, it wasn't immediately.
Did you start? Okay, what was that?
It wasn't. I was going to say it wasn't immediately, but that's not true. I felt better about what I had done immediately.
Gotcha.
I knew.
Okay, immediate.
Yeah.
Immediate.
Yeah. I knew that what I had done was right immediately. Now, that didn't mean that all the problems disappeared immediately.
That's
but
a good distinction.
Yes. Yeah. I still had problems because of my previous choices for a while. But I had comfort, I had peace in the decisions that I had made now, right away, if that makes sense. Do you see what I'm saying?
Lacking that, up to this point, you were always lacking peace.
Yes. I had peace in the decision that I had made to stop seeing this guy because I knew that that came from God. I was at peace with that. I still had consequences because of what I had done.
That's different.
Yes.
The consequences could endure.
Right. I had fleshly consequences, but I had peace in that decision to stop that situation because I knew for sure that this was a decision that came from God. So I was at peace with
now,
that. I knew that it was right.
Now, read Philippians 4:7, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but read Philippians 4:7.
Okay.
And can you apply that? And I'm not giving you a loaded question here.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And the
you
peace of God.
You might want to read 4, yeah. 6, and 7.
Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And that's what I had done. Yes. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's exactly what he did. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Even though there were consequences, you are still going through.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And my daughters, let me tell you this. My daughters at the time when I made that decision were so happy. They were so glad that I got out of that situation. They were so pleased. It affected my family immediately. Immediately.
No, I'm hearing you. Seeing signs from other people that you were okay. So now God is rather than showing you everything is going south, he's showing you a little glimpse of hope.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The reason I want to
absolutely
stop on this and let you exhaust this is because I guarantee, Raven, I've done things where everything went wrong, and I said, God, I've asked you for your help, and everything I think I'm doing is going backwards, and I'm sure there's other people who run into this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if God's promises
absolutely
are not happening, if God's promises are not happening, guess what? It's me who's
right
the faulty part of the equation.
Right.
And that's
yep
exactly what you determined, that you really didn't want to hear from him.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I will say this. There have been times when I knew that I was following God. I knew that I was following God. And everything did not get better immediately. That blessing didn't come right away.
Hold on. Philippians 4:7 doesn't promise that.
Right. Right.
But did this
yep.
did this peace start
but I had
coming
peace.
Immediately? Did it start coming?
As soon as I gave it up to him. See,
there you go.
See, you know, I talk about when I fell out, when I had that disability, and I gave it to him, and, you know, I gave it to him, and I did what I was supposed to do. But there came a time after that when I started to take it back a little bit. I started to take it
okay,
back, and
listen,
I started to worry.
Hold on. Okay, but yep. what do you do when you're taking it back and you recognize it? Now, what's the next
yep.
step?
To give it back to him. You have to give it back. You have to go back into the Word. You have to go back to him and give it back to him, because that's what happened. I recognized that uh-oh, see what you've done? You know, you're having trouble. Why are you having all this trouble? Back into the Word and then give it back to him, and then that peace comes back. And you know what happened when I did that? When I got back into the Word And that peace came back, and things then started to turn back around. See, he'll let you go through trials when you start to take it back away again, and you start going, wait, maybe this isn't going to work. Maybe he's not really going to come through the way he said he will. And things
mm-hmm,
started
mm-hmm,
to fall apart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Things started to fall apart. All of a sudden, I was lacking money. I thought I was going to get, like, thrown out of my apartment, all of these things. And I started to feel like I was sinking in quicksand. And I'm like, wait, where's God? Where's God? And then it hit me. You know, the Holy Spirit's talking to me. You know where he is. You know where he is. You go back to him. And see, and instead of me ignoring that conviction, like I did the first time, I said,
This is heavy. Because
yeah.
this
instead
is
of me ignoring
people,
the
Raven,
conviction.
Anybody listening to us, Raven, this is where they live. They don't need to hear this wonderful, you know, the fact you're going to be on the clouds of glory.
Right.
That's true. That's coming, folks. We know that. But I
eventually,
want to have
yeah.
something that we can give to people where they're hurting right now, where a person
yeah.
may be like a lady in church. A lady in church was so stricken, and I'm not a good one to perceive people. I don't read people, but I could tell there was
yeah.
something wrong seriously in her life, and then she started crying. These are the people that I would like
yeah.
to reach with the scripture. And then what you did just now, you read this first chapter of Judges, but you applied it to your life. That's what I want to do, because it does apply to our life.
It does. It really does. But see, the first time, before, it like took me so long to finally see it. But now, see, it takes me less time. And the closer you get to God, the less time it takes you to realize, oh, you know what? He's convicting me. I need to get back. I need to realize. Nope. It's only scripture. It's staying in scripture. It's staying in scripture. It's staying in prayer. It's listening to that conviction. You know, we have to stay right there with him all the time. Because
okay,
as soon as you start to turn away, what does that do? It gives Satan the chance to grab onto your shoulder, you know, and say, uh-huh, yep, see, things aren't working out the way they're supposed to, are you? You think you've got
now,
such a great
okay.
God.
Let me interrupt you a second here. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to read 4 through 8. Is this what you're saying
okay.
God purposefully allowed happen to you to get you back?
Hebrews 4?
Hebrews 12,
is that what you
4
said?
Through 8.
Oh, 12.
12.
12, 4 through 8. Yep.
In other
oh,
words,
yes, 4 through 8.
If you're focused on God, even when you walk away from him, are you saying that he will be the one take the initiative to get you back? And this, can I apply Hebrews 12, 4 through 8, that when I start
oh,
wandering?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons.
And here, this verse here, it says, we are all partakers of. So what you're saying is God is going to treat everybody listening to this program who's born again the same way.
Yes. Yes.
He is going to put things in our path to hurt us, to stub our toe, until he gets us to the point. Okay, all right.
Yes, yes. You've got the Holy Spirit, you know, talking in your ear saying, listen, stop it. This is what you need to do. And you've got God allowing things to happen to you to break you. We have to be broken. We have to be broken so he can mend us.
Well, read verse 11. Read verse 11 in chapter 12 of Hebrews.
Yes. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Yes.
So God is going to pump things up to make it worse on you, to turn you around. And it's not going to feel good.
Nope.
But even though it doesn't feel good, you're saying peace. You did have that peace about you, even though it wasn't comfortable.
Yes.
And that was immediate.
Yes.
Well, no,
as soon as the Holy Spirit.
People need to hear this. They need to hear this, but it's immediate. That even though they're going through trouble, God's not going to let them suffer alone. He's going to make them aware that he's doing this so they're good.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's what James 1:2-4 says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It's going to make us into more Christ-like. No matter what you're going through right now, look at it as it says in Hebrews 12. It is going to make you more Christ-like. You are going to get better and better and better in Christ, not in your own flesh, not in your own flesh, but you are going to become more and more Christ-like because of the things that you're going through. And you might not see it today, but as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, listen, stop going down the road you're going down. Turn to God. Turn to Christ. Take up your cross and follow him, because he is the only way for you to have that peace, that contentment, that knowing that you can just sit back and sing out hymns to God and praise God, knowing that no matter what I'm going through, God has me in his arms.
Okay,
I can just rest
me a favor.
In him.
Go to to Romans 8:28. And honestly, as you read Romans 8:28, is this where God eventually got you to the point that no matter how bad, there's folks listening to us, Raven, that they're going through bad things. They're not good. Nobody can say they're good. But is there a point at which God made you aware of not memorizing a Bible verse, but he made you aware of the fact that he will take the bad and make it good? Did that consciously come to you at any time?
Yes. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose.
So
according to his
good things.
Purpose.
They're not all good things.
No.
Because someone may be listening to us, Raven, that have had their husband or their wife commit adultery in the marriage. I mean, things that are not good. But God will take all this. Let's say you're the one who's committed adultery, or you're the one that's even had an abortion. If you'll turn to God, he will make all things. He'll take the garbage and make it work for you. That's an amazing
thing. Yes, he does. It is. You know, you and I have talked about some of the things that have happened in my life, and I'm here to tell you that I've had things that have happened in my life that if I told people about them all, they would just say, "And you're telling me that God has worked all of that out for good?" That's what I'm saying. The horrendous, horrible, awful things that have happened to me in my life, and I'm saying God is working all those things out for good.
Even things that you have willingly done that were evil.
Yes. And the things that people have willingly done to me. Yes.
But even things you've willingly done without those we can blame on someone else. But even things where you rebelled against God, he will make that good.
Yep.
This is what I want people to believe.
Yes.
This is, Raven, what I want them to believe.
Yes. Even the things they have done. Yes. Even the things I have done.
Willingly.
Even if you think, even if you think that you have done the most horrible things in your life, God will forgive you and he will use those things to help up. You know what? Let's go there. First Corinthians. First Corinthians 1, right? Or is it? No, it's 2 Corinthians, isn't it? It's 2 Corinthians 1.
2 Corinthians 1. 2
Corinthians
1. About verse 8 and 9, I think.
Yes. No. 1 Corinthians. Okay. If we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Yes. It is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. For if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Yes, God who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The reason we go through things is so that we can help others. Absolutely. Second Peter 5.
I wasn't even going to go to this verse, but that's exactly what I'm bringing up your situation for, so we can be a help to others, but biblically, not through cybernetics or any stupidity, biblically help people.
Yes. Real quick, 2 Peter 5, verse 10. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So the turning point, Raven, was when you decided you weren't listening to God's answer to your prayer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I want people to hear.
Yes.
And if I ask
We must
God,
be willing. Yes.
If I ask him, though, God, why am I not hearing from you? He will tell me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You must be willing to go to his will.
This is important. Amen.
It's about wanting his will, not our own. Thy will be done, not my will be done. Not my will be done.
I understand you.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you just quickly say a prayer and then thanksgiving for this, because we're into stuff where there's people who are bleeding internally with tragedy that I can't even imagine. And we want to try and help these people, but biblically.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we know that there are trials, that there are so many people going through all around the world, and they are hurting, Lord, hurting, or have hurt others, and they just don't know how to get through it. Lord, we know that you are the only way to get through it. It through your word, through prayer, through asking for your will in our lives, Lord. Father, we ask your forgiveness for not coming to you first. And we Amen. Just ask that your Holy Spirit would convict us of our need for you, our need to come to you and only you when we are hurting, when we have hurt others and don't know what to do. The answer is always you. We love you, Lord,
and
we put ourselves in your hands.
I got to say something, folks. I'm already almost 2 minutes into another program's time. There's a call on 954-4572, and you know who you are. Please call us back next week because we're going to be continuing. I just, in good conscience, can't interrupt this other program any longer. But please call us back next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen.